Let's talk about book banning because it's on the rise across the country. Last year alone, the American Library Association counted over 1,600 instances of books being challenged or removed from public school libraries. Most of those books were by or about Black people or members of the LGBTQ community. And school librarians are increasingly feeling the pressure of censorship from parents, from outside groups, even from their own administrations. We're joined now by Jennison Lucas. She's district librarian for Cody, Wyoming's public schools. She's also president of the American Association of School Librarians. Hi, Jennison.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I know that these last couple of years have been tough on educators with the pandemic, with distance learning. Now these calls to pull books from shelves. Can you tell us a little bit about this? Who's behind this?
Normally in the past, the people who've been mostly behind that have been concerned parents. What we're seeing this year are people who are not necessarily parents, but are part of organized group movements that are very politicized and very well funded, kind of coming in and trying to impose what they believe are the good moral values for our kids.
Right. And I want to talk a little bit about the kind of books that we're seeing being challenged or banned or pulled from the shelves. As I mentioned, the majority of these books were by or about Black or LGBTQ people. The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison and This Book is Gay by Juno Dawson are two examples. Why these types of books? Why are they being singled out in particular, do you suppose?
I think that the LGBTQ materials are being singled out as part of a wave to go back to a more traditional or conservative view of American families. And it's easier to think about a two-gendered dichotomy than it is to broaden that out to what our students are identifying as today. And I think there's some way of looking at things that putting this information out there is going to normalize what is not considered normal behavior, as opposed to letting people who identify in these different ways to be able to see themselves as characters in the world that they live in.
Right, right. Well, you're a librarian. What's your reaction to all this? How do you feel about what's happening? It must be a really challenging time for librarians.
It's extremely challenging because librarians have some professional values that one of the things that we defend vigorously is intellectual freedom and the First Amendment right to information. And seeing people trying to stop that flow of information and to remove certain information, especially when it is surrounding identities of people, that we want to remove LGBTQ material, we want to remove books about Blacks and the struggles that they've had and our other people of color. And it hurts the hearts of a lot of librarians because we want those people who have been underrepresented in the past to finally be visible and to be visible to themselves, be visible to others, to be part of the world that they live in. And not being able to provide those materials is heart-wrenching.
Yeah,
it's also heart-wrenching for us to see the students and the children who are caught in this crisis because they are, all of the conversations are telling them that they're somehow less. And that is not what we have been trying to do as we build up our learners. And as a school librarian in particular, it's really hard because we are the only person in our building that does our job. Sometimes, as in my case, I am the only certified librarian in my school district. And being the one person who stands up for intellectual freedom in those cases can be really trying, and it's very stressful. And we believe in it, so we keep doing it, but it's tough.
We're hearing that librarians are being pressured by their own administrators to pull books to avoid scrutiny. There was an example of Suzette Baker, a librarian in Texas. She said she was fired because she said no. And I'm just wondering, have you experienced anything like that? And how hard is it to navigate in this situation?
That is an extremely difficult thing to navigate because anytime that anybody is pulling books because they dislike the ideas that are in the book is censorship. And standing up to that is hard anyway. And then when you add to it that it might be your direct supervisor who has that power of being able to fire you or keep you on staff, standing up for what is right in that situation or what we believe is right is keeping those materials is very, very tough. But from trying to see it from the perspective of an administrator, of course you don't want to have to go through those conflicts. And when it gets like that, it becomes, especially the ones that we've seen this year that have been so public, and the people yelling at school board meetings and calling people names. And I personally have had administrators who have chosen to check the book out for the year instead of having it be on the shelves when it's being promoted for state awards groups or something, and said, "We'll just, I'm just going to hold on to that. I'm going to be reading it for a while."
Wow.
And I mean, you feel awkward writing the message or telling them to their face that, hey, that's censorship. We need those books on the shelves.
Right. I understand. And yeah.
I think it emboldens people who are asking for materials to be removed if they think that they can get the administrators on their side.
Just an example of one of the things we're talking about here. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster is telling the state's Department of Education to investigate a graphic novel on queer identity being available at a school's library. He says the content in the book is sexually explicit and pornographic. Does that sound like a form of censorship to you?
It does, because he is imposing his viewpoint onto that particular title.
You know, so much of this is being framed in the context of parental rights, of a group of, of some parents anyway, of wanting to, you know, advocating for allowing parents to protect their kids from being indoctrinated. This is what you hear from folks who are pushing for this kind of what you would call censorship. Respond to that issue, because that is sort of the context in which we're operating these days.
We always are backing up the parents. So if a parent were to come to me and say, I don't want my child to read this particular type of book, then I will always back that parent up. I will ask the parent to explain it to their child, because if the child asks me, why does my mom not want me to read those, I am going to say, you need to talk to your mom, because it's the parent's decision. It's the parent's reasons.
Right.
When a parent is saying that I don't want any children to read this because I don't think it's appropriate for my child, is where it moves from parental discernment into censorship.
Let me come back to this question of censorship, because I'm noting that the American Library Association did a State of the Library survey, and it found that only a minority of people actually want to censor books. And I'm wondering if you see that as some kind of silver lining in all this.
I think that there is. I think that across the country, it's a very vocal minority of people who are really speaking up and asking for us to completely remove materials. I believe that the statistics were very heavily in favor of the number of people who don't want to censor books. They want to be the people who decide for their own kids. And when other people are stepping up and doing that, it kind of changes that dynamic of what parents have control over. But it's also that we as Americans want to believe in education and freedom of education, and that's how we become good members of our society, is by learning that information and having it. And we want our students and our children to have the same accessibility to these materials as we always did.
Jennison, does this feel like a high watermark to you in terms of some parents and administrators calling for books being to be banned, or just the beginning of this trend?
Sometimes it feels like just the beginning. Sometimes it feels like we might be turning the tide. In my district, personally, it's just starting, and we can see with the group that is in our area where things might be headed. But I think that the more that this story is out there and the more that we talk about it, the more people who don't believe in censorship, the ones who want to keep the access of information flowing, will likely stand up, and we hope that they will.
That's Jennison Lucas. She's the district librarian for Cody, Wyoming's public schools and president of the American Association of School Librarians. Jennison, thank you so much and good luck to you.
Thank you.